Do you know, I just looked at this piece of music that's now playing, and it's Ennio Morricone, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Oh, well. And
we've just been joined by... which one's which? I don't mind being the ugly. Okay, I don't mind being the ugly or the bad, but I think you're the good. Although I don't think... No, in actual fact, I think Mark is the good. I'm the ugly and you're the bad.
Oh, no, thank you very much, Ian.
It's the Monday phone and we've just been joined by Mark Petty. Welcome, Mark. How are you?
I'm fine, yourself?
Good, I'm lovely as well, thanks.
I don't think I'm the bad. I think Charlie's the good.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
You're the bad haircut. And I'm the ugly.
Look, the phone's ringing already. We've got a load of stuff to get through today, so let's take the first call. Hi, who's this?
Hello, Ian.
Hello, Keith. How you doing?
Hello, Keith.
I'm not bad. Hello, Shirley. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Hello, Mark.
Sorry, mate. I didn't have my headphones on. Couldn't hear you. Hello, mate. How are you? You all right?
I'm not bad. Yourself?
Yeah, good.
Ennio Morricone.
Go on. Yeah.
Wasn't that sampled by, what you call it, Fatboy Slim?
It may have been. On what song?
Oh, I don't know. It was the harmonica bit in, Don't Be Good To Me. That one.
Don't be good to me. Yeah. That was that's not him. That was crikey.
He was behind wasn't he?
It was number one back in about 89, wasn't it?
Yeah, didn't he produce it then or something? I know he was something to do with it.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Because he was also in
House
Martins, that's right, yeah.
He looked the right dork in there though, didn't he?
Yeah. right, so we've got an array of stuff we're chatting about. Is this something that you wanna bring up?
Yeah, what's his name? Kane Kennedy, the one that's been plastered all over Facebook.
Hang on, who's Kane Kennedy?
Which one's that?
Oh, is he the guy from YouTube?
No, he's supposed to be the guy that set fire to the doghouse.
Oh, right.
Yeah, okay.
Right, let's not mention him anymore, because obviously we have to be very, very careful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, his photograph's been plastered all over Facebook.
Yeah.
Allegedly saying that he was the instigator of the Manchester Dogs Home fire.
Yeah.
But apparently he's under 16.
Right.
Yeah, but that could be anybody on that photograph, couldn't it, Keith?
Well, I'm looking at him now, and he does look rather young, I must admit.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, it could be, you know, anybody could put a photograph up.
Yeah. They could put a photograph of me on there and say it was me. Nobody'd be any the wiser, would they?
No, that's right, Mark.
That's why I don't tend to follow Facebook like that, because it could get you into all sorts of trouble.
It's wrong to
trial by Facebook, isn't it?
Trial by Facebook.
Exactly.
It's not right.
Yeah, trial by Facebook.
It's really not right.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's been removed several times, but it keeps popping up.
I know it does, yeah.
You know, it's a shame, really, that the poor lad...
But it was sad what happened, though, wasn't it? All those dogs that died.
Can I tell you the story behind it or not?
Well, if allegedly?
Well, allegedly he got bit by a dog last year and he hates dogs.
That's right, that's what it says on the Facebook.
I got bit by my wife, but I didn't set her alive.
It's a bit extreme, yeah, I know.
You didn't set her alive, are you? You put her in
the Sorry, shouldn't mock, really. No, I'm a dog lover myself.
Yes,
I mean.
Well, same here, yeah.
Yes,
but I must admit, the outpouring of... sympathy towards it is I don't know what's going on there. You know, you got all this money that's been donated and people turning up to try and house the dogs and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. £1 million, isn't it, they raised?
Yeah, but why do we treat animals better than human beings?
Yeah, you're right there. Yeah.
You know, it's like you've got that situation, yet, you know. Well, there's other situations, but we don't want to go down that road.
Why do we put animals down and let humans suffer? But that's a whole another phone in.
It is a phone in that one.
Arrington House is Ian.
Yes.
Well, that was down to go through from day one, wasn't it?
But they had to appeal it, didn't they?
They
pushed away, and we all thought, the people of Arrington have stood up and stood strong, and they've got what they wanted. But now it seems like it's been shoved through, and it's going to happen.
9 times out of 10, mate, if a planning application goes in, it will go through.
Yeah.
You know, unless it's something absolutely ridiculous, like building a 20-foot wall or something. But
I don't think there's so many houses they're allowed to build as what they wanted to do
at the moment.
Because once they start,
you go 5 years down the line, what's going to happen next? Oh, we need a few more houses on the end of this estate.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, that's happened at the back of where we live at the minute.
Same here, it's an application gone in behind us for 96.
Yeah. We are surrounded by so many houses and flats. Yeah.
Do you know, the sad thing is, I was driving around.
Living in a town, Shirley.
Driving around on Friday, and you go through places like Godshill, who Godshill is a lovely, beautiful place.
Oh, yeah.
So is Brading.
Yeah, it's
and it's ruined now by the amount of traffic, the volume of traffic that goes through it.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that Arrowton is going to go the same way in a minute, because they're going to build all those houses. I would imagine they're going to have a few more shops as well. And you go through Lake, and Lake has similar sort of issues. You go through Lake, and it's like they're trying to give you a reason to stop. And it's I just think that they'll do the same with Arrowton. They're trying to give you a reason to stop in Arrowton and use their services.
Yeah, and one of the problems here, though, with God's Hill, it's on a main route, isn't it?
It is, but...
You know, it's not like over here. If we get a picturesque village like that, and there's an increase in traffic... There's funding from the government that would put a bypass in.
Well, make it one way at least. You know, it's a perfect...
Over that with traffic lights.
It's a perfect opportunity to, you know, with the PFI, we've got 25 years to sort the roads out. Mm. Make it one way through Godshill. Mm. Make it one way through Brading.
How could you do that?
Well, you
just
put
a sign up.
Put a sign up.
Yeah, but if you were going one way in through Godshill, say the one-way system took you to Sandown.
Yeah.
Or Shanklin, isn't it? No, Shanklin, that road, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Say that, well, how would you come back? To go, would you put a road around Godshill?
There is a road around Godshill, isn't there?
I don't know.
You'd go a different way.
I don't know, Ian.
Go a different way.
How? Yeah. How would you do it?
Well, you just go a different way. Instead of going through Godshill, you cut down...
through
Chale. That's like coming out of your house, so to speak.
Yeah.
And they suddenly make your road a one-way system... And you've got to go all the way around Newport to get to the house next door, so to speak.
Well, they've already done that, technically, in
Newport,
haven't they? Along Trafalgar Road there. You used to be able to go down through, past and round Road Hill.
I honestly...
Now they send you up through Nelson Road and along White Pit Lane.
Yeah.
And then down through... And they've made that a one-way system there.
Yeah, well, that works there, Mark, because it's only sort of... it's back streets, isn't it? But you get a main road system.
They should put traffic lights at God's Hill.
Yeah. Hold them back.
Mm. Because there's always lots of people wandering around.
In the summer, it can be horrendous.
It's not fair to the people that come on holiday that want to look at God's Hill.
Traffic controlled. Yeah.
Yeah, I think traffic lights.
Single lane traffic.
Single lane traffic.
Yeah. And allow pavements on each side or walkways on each side
and then
controlled by traffic lights.
Well, that's one sorted out then. So what can we do with Brading?
Just going back to the planning side. You know the,
do the same with Brading.
You know the appeals are not done on the island, don't you?
Why not?
Planning is put through on the island. If you appeal against it, the appeal is done on the mainland. It's not done over here.
Yes, I've heard of that.
What is that then?
I don't know. We had a situation where I live where a guy wanted to build a bungalow on the smallest bit of grass you've ever seen. And I got on my high horse like I do with these things and rallied round the local residents and put in a letter to complain about it.
Yeah.
Planning got stopped. It was refused. He appealed against it, but that appeal then gets sent off to the mainland. It still got refused, but that's how the appeal system on the island works. So they give it to some bloke set up in Birmingham or Manchester or wherever it is to make a decision on something that the island planners have said no.
And he knows nothing about it.
And he could. I mean, like you say, Keith, it's one of those where if it's been refused, there's 90% chance that it's going to get declined on appeal
Go on, mate.
No, I'm just saying, but it's putting it into the lap of some. It's like us and the EU, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
But we won't go there. That's another phone in again.
Well, there's another thing over here.
Mark.
Go on.
It's like Tesco's, you know. They put in, they actually open these shops in the old pubs that's closed down. They open up shops.
We've got one on the island. A pub is closing down. It's going to be a Tesco.
Do you know what? I drove by there.
Over at Lake.
It's over at Lake. And the thing is, 50 feet away, there's a cooperative.
Ridiculous, isn't
it? Is that going to be a Tesco or is that going to be Aldi's?
No, it's going to be a Tesco.
It's going to be a Tesco. There's going to be another Aldi just around the corner.
Police station in Cowes,
right,
isn't there?
Yeah.
Police station
in Cowes. Yeah, the thing is, they put they open this shop from 7 to 11, then about 12 months down the line, they put in for the alcohol licence to run from 6 till midnight. Mm. So the shops can open an hour earlier and they shut an hour later, which is wrong, I think, personally.
Well, I just think it's crazy when you've got already got a cooperative 50 feet away, and yeah, they're going to make a, you know, put another supermarket in. It's just just dumb. This is Lake is struggling with the amount of traffic that goes through it anyway.
Yeah, like, I know what you mean.
It's almost like they're saying, right, we want to give you another reason to stop. We don't. It's one of those roads that you just drive through, unfortunately.
Well, I heard that also Morrison's are putting another plan application in, and they change the roundabout.
Is that in Lake as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, again, that's congested as well. I drove over there at the weekend, and I thought, wow, we've just become like, let's just pile everything on we can on these roads.
Let's have an Asda.
Yeah. We've already got Morrison's, let's have an Asda as well.
Isn't that supposed to be happening?
Yeah, it is. Between now and 2017.
The Aldi is going on is going on the site opposite Morrison's. It's the old temperature site.
Yeah.
Do you remember temperatures?
Oh, that's where it's going in there. That.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that site very well. Yeah.
But it's like, well, you've got a massive at the moment. You've got a supermarket war going on. You notice the new Iceland advert with Peter Andre?
Yeah,
everything's 89p.
Well,
if you go into Aldi's, it's 89p anyway. So obviously they're trying to catch up with what the market that they've took. You know what I mean?
I hope that's all they're paying him for doing the acting, because that's all it's worth. 89p.
I don't know. Come on, don't you run down Peter Andre?
I would run. I wouldn't run him down. What the car?
No, he's lovely.
Mrs. J says, I think old unused derelict buildings should be used for more housing. Also, cap the total number of people moving to the island, as other small islands do.
I've always said that, Ian. Yeah. Look at the amount of empty factories and warehouses. Why can't they convert them into people
that's
for the homeless?
Do you know what? I agree. Right across the river, there is a massive, massive warehouse just sitting there doing nothing. It's listed, it's just rotting away. And you think, what a complete waste!
It's got holes in the windows, the roof's fallen in. Yeah. It's just
we were at a building before, as you know, you went there as well, Keith. That is now just sitting there. We were asked to leave that building because it was unsafe. Mm. It's been in that state for the last 12 months or more. It's huge, and it's just left there to rack and ruin.
Well, it will be, mate, until somebody comes along with some money that wants to properly develop it.
Actually, it's got a board on it now. It's for sale.
It's been for sale for the last 12 months. No one will buy it, though. No one will buy it.
No.
Hey, look, Keith, thanks for your call.
Okay, mate.
Cheers.
Yeah, nice to speak to you all.
And you, mate.
Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye. Okay, some messages coming in. Load more houses that have got the go-ahead built in Arrowton. Will it spoil the place? What do you think? It's a joke, says Ian Room. It's a joke. How can we cope? How can we hope to leave a green legacy for the next generation when all our green spaces are covered in cheaply built houses that no one wants to live in? Greedy landowners like Laurie Calloway will be the ruin of our villages. Let's go to another call here. Hi, who's this?
Hello, it's Ali.
Hello, Ali.
Hello.
This is right on your doorstep, isn't it?
It's in my back garden.
Mm.
In your back garden?
It's in my back garden, yeah.
So you must be angry?
I'm angry that a decision's been made by someone from the mainland.
Yeah.
Birmingham, who knows nothing about the island.
Because obviously I attended the appeal hearing. He was from County Durham.
Right, okay.
Says it all, doesn't it?
Has he ever visited the island?
No, first time here.
Isn't it ridiculous?
Mad.
So this kind of thing is going to happen time and time again. Somebody's going to put in some planning. The local guys are going to reject it. It then goes off the island to be accepted by someone who don't really know anything about the Isle of Wight.
Mm.
Correct.
Mm.
Exactly. That's how it works.
Yeah.
Has the world gone crazy?
I just think, Ian, there are dire consequences for the island as a whole. There's quite a few controversial planning applications in at the moment on greenfield sites. Gurnard, Penny Feathers and Bryston. Mm. And this will set a precedent that a developer can come along and, you know, if Arrowton is stated as there is nothing of significance here, even though it has a grade 2-star listed manor house 300 yards away from the proposed site. It's got a grade 2 listed cottage 500 yards away from the site. There are inadequate facilities. There is inadequate transport. It was turned down by the planning committee. It was turned down by planning officers. What does that say?
Well, it's undermining them, isn't it?
It matters not what anybody says, what anybody comes up with, but that's it.
What about the parish? Did the parish
agree? The island as a whole, you know.
Did the parish agree it, Mark wants to know?
The parish council objected to it.
they objected as well. So you've had noise. You've had all three objected.
Yeah.
And they've now appealed it and put it through
and
by.
They've appealed and they've got it. And
so everybody on Ireland related has said no. And some guy from Durham has said, yeah, that's all right.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
to be fair to the guy, I mean, I did actually go attend the appeal hearing for over 2 days.
Mm.
And it was a very, very fair hearing. And nobody is more gobsmacked than me that he actually came to the conclusion that he came to.
Mm.
And the worst thing, I think, was reading it on the county press website. I spent most of Saturday tea time actually going through the village and knocking on the doors of local residents so that, unlike me, they didn't hear it third hand through a county press website.
Yeah.
Because that's not right either.
I agree. What would you say to Kevin Barclay-Joe, who says, the land is development land but not greenbelt? They didn't complain about the massive biomass plant being built at the other end of town, but I guess they see a profit in that. All towns and villages need to grow to maintain their identity and connection within families. Do we want all our children moving to the mainland so that they can buy a house? Staying the same is stagnation. What would you say to that?
I think he's made some valid points, and obviously, yes, villages do need to grow, but you cannot nearly double the size of a village overnight, Ian, without there being consequences.
See, I drove, I keep saying, I drove around the, I don't drive much but these days, and I say I drove through Godsill. Godsill was such a picturesque place and so busy, and so, you know, it just put me off. Do I want to stop in town? No, I don't. I just want to get out of it, because it's just, the traffic is just blooming awful. It's the same in Brading, and it's the same in other areas, and it's sort of getting that way, you know, in Ayrton as well. I'm thinking it was not as spoilt as the other two towns that I've just mentioned, and I just think that if we're not careful, it's going to go that way, because there's going to be a hell of a lot more houses. In a minute, there'll be another Tesco Express or something, and they'll be trying to give you a reason to stop in Ayrton. What, the only reason that we should stop in Ayrton is if we live there or we're going to the pub.
Mm.
And in a minute, that road is going to be chocker. There's still schools there, isn't there?
The road's already chockery, and I mean, out the front of my house, I wouldn't sit in my front garden because the main road is actually that busy. But what sells the house for me is obviously the view at the back and the fact that the traffic isn't continual. You know, about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, that's it. And it is still a very, very pretty place. I mean, we've got a village school, we've got a community centre, we've got the cricket pitch, we've got, like you say, two pubs. And it is, we are the envy of many, many countries for our quaint little picturesque villages and hamlets that we've got. And gradually they're being destroyed. And I know there's people, I mean, on the White today, there's some very negative comments on the White, you know. There's quite a few armchair politicals with nothing better to do. And I can see both points. You know, I've got children. Yes, my children need somewhere to live. But why would you put a single mum with two children in a village with inadequate transport links, no places at the local primary school, to have to walk half a mile to the nearest shop with nothing out here? It needs to be sustainable and it needs to be organic, and virtually doubling the size of a village overnight, that's not what the island needs.
Well,
I'd say my main fear is the island as a whole, because this, you know, obviously we're going to set a precedent, aren't we, because the developers will be around it like flies around honey.
Well, do you know what's really nice? I mean, you obviously live in the area. You're giving it to us honest. Yes, Kevin Barclay-Joe's made some good points. And no, we're not, you know, we're not saying no housing. We're saying let's have a limited amount of housing, which is kind of a compromise. But what's happened is they've completely ignored the people that actually matter, ignored the people that actually have the knowledge of the Isle of Wight, and settled for someone's inadequate knowledge, because that's what it is, from up north to decide.
And the worst, on top of that, is the scenario that apparently our Conservative government are all for localism and local residents' wishes. Where how can you, when you just trample over them and take no notice whatsoever?
Yeah.
You know, I just, like I say, I think this is kind of the thin end of the wedge. I think there are going to be dire consequences for all the other planning applications that have gone in. And my sign out the front of my house said it all: build for need, not for greed.
I think that's about right. What would you say to Ian Room? Time for all Islanders to lobby Andrew Turner MP and get him to earn his stripes and protect our villages from the central government cement mixer before it's too late. It says here, come on, Mr. Mac, put out the call, save our white. Do you know what? I think you are the perfect person to start the ball rolling. I really do. Because I think you've been in this from the start. You're looking after the people of your area, Arrowton, and I think you've been dumped on from Durham.
Right, OK, well, I could say quite a lot to that, Ian. I think the people of the Isle of Wight, Gurnard, Bryston, Pennyfeathers, get in touch, because we've been there, we've done that, and I'll tell you what, I have had some fantastic people have supported me, amongst them you know, that have actually seen a bigger picture. It's not just about housing, like someone else commented. There are enough empty buildings, there are enough brownfield sites on the Isle of Wight. There is a whole bigger picture. If our previous governments and this government had kept the check on immigration, the amount of people coming to this country, no way would Great Britain be in the situation it's in now.
Joe, I can't disagree with what you just said there.
No.
It just seems common sense. It really does.
At the risk of sounding racist, at the risk of whatever anyone slings at me, I just think if I was to go to Poland, would they build me a house? No, they wouldn't.
You're right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a...
What are you going to do? What's the next step for you then? You either roll over...
I can do, you know. I mean, there's been some sort of sly comments about lay down in front of the diggers and this, that, and the other. You know, that's not a very good look for a grown woman with three children, is it? But, you know, I think the Isle of Wight should realise what is happening and what will happen 2 years down the line, Ian. Hopefully people will remember this conversation. Let's all, every potential development, let's all get together and let's stand as one against what they're doing to my island. It's mine. I was born here. I'm getting quite emotional now.
Yeah.
I was born here. I love it. And I would like nothing better than my children to have what I've had.
Yeah, no, I can't disagree with anything you just said, and do you know what, it's really nice to know that there are people like you out there that really care and look at the island and want to protect it. Yeah, obviously we need to move on, we can't stand still. I think, you know, Kevin Barclay Jay makes a good point about stagnating, but let's not, you know, that shouldn't come at the cost of damaging small villages. There
villages,
are
communities, families, exactly. Whatever, you know, I've been on this, Ian, for 2 years. You know, I'm sure my poor husband is absolutely sick to death. He must know every planning regulation there is going. He's had me sounding off at him, all sorts. Even my 12-year-old daughter has put her own comments and things in as to what she feels. And I just think the whole village, you know, is absolutely devastated. And I just think maybe it's time to make a stand.
I think, definitely. Good for you for doing it. Don't take it lying down.
No.
If you
okay.
Pardon the expression.
What was the planning, the one that was up at the top of Ride there, up by Tesco's?
That's Pennyfeathers.
That is Pennyfeathers. That hasn't been, that been refused, or is that still ongoing?
980 houses. It sort of says that they were drawing up new plans for that, but, you know.
We're not sure what's going on with
980
that.
980 houses in the context of Ride is about the same.
Sorry, how many?
30 houses in the context of Arrowton.
Mm. How many was that?
I think it was 900 and...
Which is pretty much what they've put up at the top of Pan, isn't it? I think that was for 800 and odd up there.
And they're just starting the second phase of that, aren't they? I mean, that's being advertised. Come up and see the second phase of Pan.
Yeah.
I mean, how many houses are there at the moment that are for sale that can't sell? There's no jobs on the island.
Yeah.
There's no sustainability
exactly.
for people to have the money to be able to afford these new houses. And by the same token, a developer only has to mention affordable or social housing, and it seems a green light. There's no mention of the other 50, 60, 70 houses that he's going to make a lot of money from.
Yeah, no, that's it. That's it. I mean, I can understand them putting some housing in on the outskirts of Ryde. I can see the point to that. Obviously, the amount, you know, that would be...
It's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot of houses. But I could see why they would put it there. You've got Tesco's, you've got Ferry Links, you've got... You know, you've got all that, but you haven't got that in Arrowton.
No. No.
Haven't you? You've got a little tiny post office.
Years, and I expect we will have.
Yeah, well, you've got a little tiny post office, haven't you? So they slap bang a load of houses in there, then all of a sudden you get people like Tesco Express. What they'll start looking at maybe, there's a few houses there, maybe we can, and then that's when the small village disappears.
But let's be really honest, we do know that there is a problem with homelessness and people needing social housing, but out of those 900 houses, you chuck in Arrowton as well, 1,000-odd houses being built, how much of those are actually going to be social housing? Not many.
No, it's not a great percentage, is it?
No. So that's not really going to solve the people on waiting lists, is
it? Surely, in the grand scheme of things, you've just said about that warehouse in Newport and obviously your old building, would it not be cheaper to convert that somewhere that people want to live, somewhere that has facilities,
in towns, near the schools
and shops.
Because the youngsters of today, who's going to want to come and live in a field in Arrowton with really bad transport links, that a double-decker bus can drive past you because it's come all the way from Benbridge, and by the time it gets here, it's full up, so you're stood there for another hour.
Yeah.
Okay, Ronka says, all towns started off as villages. People need housing. However, putting affordable housing in rural areas is not ideal. Public transport to and from these places is a joke. I think it would mean people becoming isolated. What would you say to that?
I would say, Ian, I am that person. I moved here from the middle of Shanklin 24 years ago with a three-year-old child. I jumped at the chance of being given social housing in Arrowton. And to all those people out there that were all NIMBYs, this, that and the other, I have been there, okay? I didn't drive. And for the first 6 months out here, although I thought I had a lovely house, I had no money to do my house up with. I had a bus that stopped at 5 o'clock in the evening, so I had to be in at 5 o'clock. There was one bus on a Sunday, so I relied heavily on public transport. It wasn't ideal. I then had my second daughter. We went down for an appointment down at Sandown Medical Centre for the baby, and the bus drove off with my wheels down the bottom of the Broadway. Now, that sounds really funny, doesn't it? But when you're stood there as a 26-year-old mum with a baby in a carry cot and a toddler on the other arm, and you see your wheels disappear and your only mode of transport, it wasn't very funny at all. I have, over the years, worked, earned, and built what I've got. I could not live here without my car. Why would you do that to somebody else in the same situation?
Yeah, that's a good point to make. We'll leave it there, Alison, but thanks very much for your call. And
okay.
Keep going, girl, because I just think you're the perfect person to keep this, keep the fire going. And I think, there will have to be some people listening to, in higher places and questioning the way that we do things, even if it's to change the way we do things in the future. Mm. Maybe we've missed the boat on this, but it is kind of ridiculous. It put planning permission in. Just say, for instance, now, if I'm a big businessman or a developer, I'm now safe in the knowledge that I can put this through at a local level, they dismiss it, and then I say, well, I'm going to go to appeal because I'm going to get someone from County Durham up country to sort this out, and he won't know anything about it.
And they will come in their droves there, and you watch and wait.
Yeah.
Thanks for your call, Alison.
Okay, bye.
Cheers,
bye.
Bye, Alison. Okay, should we finish up on that subject, go into a break and then come back with the other one that we wanted to talk about, which was the floating bridge? There's been a couple of other comments as well. Ian Room says, most of this generation will leave the island to find work. If we build new houses now for the children for tomorrow, they will already be filled by the time they need them. Create industry and infrastructure before you give up green spaces for people to move into with no prospects of finding work. Don't tar Arrowton residents with all the same brush. That was the old guard. The times are changing. This is after a comment that was made by Graham Stevens, who says someone in Arrowton moaned about the motocross noise and that got stopped. Everyone said it was a great success and great for the island. Karma is a bitch. Yeah, but ain't all those people that are now up in arms about the houses?
Exactly.
There was one person, I believe, complained. Let's take one more call before we go to the break. Hi, who's this?
Hi, it's Philip.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
Philip.
All right, thanks. I just wanted to comment about this Tesco Express in Lake. Well, that used to be a pub, and they're going to have an advantage over the co-op. They're going to have a car park. I just don't think it's on, because Well, I know exactly what happened because we had Sainsbury's Local come to Sandown when Wall was closed. They're flooded with cheap offers for the first few months. Wait till the Co-op's gone bust because they're struggling to keep up. Then once Co-op's closed, they put the prices up.
See?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what
I mean. Don't start Keith off because he'll be on the phone again. But it kind of, I don't know. I just kind of, I can see what you're saying.
Yeah.
But then I'd be a bit sneaky and maybe park in Tesco and go over to the cooperative just to be a git. But I can see what you're saying. And I don't, because literally, if you don't know the area, I don't know if you drove by, it's the old Manor Inn, old Manor Pub,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. Mean,
and it's literally, it's probably about 100 foot. That these two mini supermarkets are going to be about 100 foot. They're across the road from each other, in Lake. I mean, what is the point? What is this? Where is the sense in that? All that is going to do is detract one from one business to another, and you know that Tesco are going to win that war.
Well, the issue you've got is these big supermarkets now, the big Tesco Express, and they're not working, are they? They're running at losses. So this is why now they're moving in back into the high street, which in one respect is going to regenerate the high street a little bit, I think, because it will bring those shoppers that were going to the large supermarkets back into the towns. But on the other hand, they're still going to outprice everybody. So look, poor little corner shop down the road or the post office, or it's not going to last, is it?
Are you going to tell him, Dame Shirley, or should
I'm going to have to, because you're going to tell me off in a minute, and it's not me.
It's Mark banging the desk.
Yeah,
stop banging the desk.
He's going to tell me off in a minute.
What am I banging the desk with then?
So what's your idea? What's your thoughts on it? On it, Phil. I mean, do you think it's right? Do you think should have been given, or not? I mean,
I think it's wrong. Whoever approved the planning permission for that needs their head looking at, because they must know that it's going to affect the business that's just over the road from it. I mean, if you ask me, it's Sandown itself that needs more shops. We've got so many empty shops. Bailey's is just closed, and from what I can gather, nothing's going in there. And we could do with Poundland coming to Sandown and going in that or something, but Sandown is in a terrible state. We've got so many empty shops, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
You've got that big building that was Bogies, haven't you, all along the front there?
Yeah, that's right.
The arcade, that's all just sat boarded up, isn't it?
Well, let's just deal with Lake for a moment, because I drove through there and I looked at Lake and I thought there's a lot of little shops there that are kind of open. There was a few that were not, and it's almost like you're trying to you've got to have a reason to stop off, okay? And you've also got to have a parking space as well. So that's something that Tesco will offer if you can go into their little space there and have a parking space. And it's almost, will that have a knock-on effect? Hey, I'm just going to pop in at the Tesco, and by the way, I'm just going to go pop down to the local florist in Lake and get some flowers. Or are they going to get their flowers from Tesco Express?
The shops are not that great in Lake. All they've got is Indian takeaway, they've got a Chinese, they've got another takeaway, and they've got a chemist, so that's it.
I think
fish and chip shop.
I think it looks very tatty when you go through Lake. I think the shops look really tatty through there.
I don't think a Tesco Express is the answer, is it?
No, in
Lake, that's my honest opinion. If we were like the committee now, we would take a drive down there and we would probably see common sense and say, if look at this two ways. Do you want people to stop off in Lake to spend money elsewhere, or is it just a case of they're going to stop off in Tesco and it's somewhere to park and it alleviates the problem, because this parking is going to be the problem? There's two ways we look at this. Is Tesco now going to be the mini Tesco, the Tesco Express in Lake now going to take money away from elsewhere in Lake and the shop just across the road and not destroy it, but obviously you get a reason now for stopping off. You've got parking there.
But, well, I think it will destroy,
but at what cost?
They're probably going to have more floor space than I don't know where it could be. They're probably going to be more floor space. They've got a car park, and this time next year, that co-op won't be there. I'm sure of that.
Well, I think it'd be really, really sad. I kind of see the sense in what you're saying, and I've made predictions like that in the past when people move a nightclub in next door to another nightclub, and at some point when somebody else moves another nightclub in across town, two streets away, and the same sorts of things happen. This thing is literally 100 feet apart. Something's got to give. I hope that they're okay, but who knows? It's just daft, but it needs highlighting, because the madness is that these decisions are not made, or some of these decisions are not made at local level. We're actually,
well, they are, and then they're overturned by somebody somewhere else.
Exactly. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
In fact, it's time they started listening to us more, I think, rather than listen to these big companies. Like going back to this Arrowton, the Harrison estate, when it went to appeal, you probably find when it went to appeal that they were both Freemasons. So you shake my hand, I shake yours, and that's why they overrule it.
Yeah.
Hey, look, is there anything else you want to say, Phil?
No, I don't think so. I'll let somebody else have a go now.
Thanks for your call, mate.
All right, bye.
Oh, just before we go, did you have a lovely weekend? Because it was your 50th anniversary, wasn't it?
25th, yeah. 25th. We did, thanks. Yeah, really nice.
Good, your silver one.
Silver anniversary,
that's right,
yeah.
Lovely.
Did you get Lynn a present?
I did, yes.
Well, can you tell us what it was?
I got her eternity ring, and it cost me quite a lot of money.
Oh, you are a good chap.
Did you get... Was her name engraved in it? And
No, she chose it. I let her choose it, because she got her own choice. I let her choose it, but it did cost me a lot more money than I was expecting it to.
Cool. Good. So good. And so
home,
it should.
You've come home skint then, have you?
Yes, a little bit.
So what does she get you,
Phil? What does she get you?
She hasn't got me. I told her I didn't want anything.
Mate, you've got to have your money's worth. If you're spending loads of money you ain't got.
We're going to Gran Canaria in January, so I told her to save the money for that.
If it's 25 years, you'll be out on parole soon then.
Yeah, maybe.
Thanks for your call, Phil. I'm glad you had a lovely weekend.
Bye.
Cheers now. Bye. He'll be going into the boss now and asking for extra hours, won't he, bless him? We'll cut to a quick break and we'll come back and we're going to talk floating bridge.
Have your say on the Isle of Wight phone-in, brought to you in association with White Fibre. It's not only super fast, it's super unlimited too. Go to www.whitefibre.com. While You Wait Services is a real Aladdin's Cave in Pyle Street, Newport. A truly local business that offers a fabulous, friendly service. Leather repairs, shoe repairs, key cutting for your car, house or shed. In fact, any kind of keys. They're also experts in engraving, house signs, shoe dyeing. They also do zip replacement for that coat you don't want to throw away. A shop for so many uses. While You Wait Services in Pyle Street, Newport. It's the most useful shop in town.
Westridge Golf Centre have the island's only pay-as-you-play golf course with no booking of tee times required. They currently have a challenging 9-hole par 31 golf course, currently under expansion to become an 18-hole par 64 course. Check them out now, www.westridgegolfcentre.co.uk. Westridge Golf Centre, Brading Road in Ryde.
Get out of bed, Molly. You can't stay there all day.
Why bother? I have nowhere to go. My friends are either at school, college or work.
You won't find a job lying in bed or sat watching telly.
I have no qualifications, though, and no experience. I can't even get a job.
Why don't you call CLC? They will help you onto a traineeship programme where you can get the qualifications you need and the work experience for a great job.
In some rubbish job I hate?
No, you get to choose what you want to do. And you get an iPad mini when you finish. And free bus travel. And £100.
What was the number again?
CLC 01983 533 993.
Isle of Wight Food Bank provides emergency food and support to local people in crisis. Your support helps stop local people going hungry. For more information, ring the office on 01983 292 040 or check out isleofwightfoodbank.org.uk/.
Hi, this is Pyro, the Rock Monster. Tune in to the Rock Monster Show, playing classic rock, AOR, prog, and sometimes a bit of blues. The show where studio edits a band. Good music, off-the-wall chat, and the odd call from the bands. The Rock Monster Show, 10 p.m. to midnight every Saturday, only on Vectis Radio. You will want to turn it on again.
This is Vectis Radio. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/VectisRadio.
Have your say on the Isle of Wight phone-in, brought to you in association with White Fibre. It's not only super fast, it's super unlimited too. Telephone them on 01983 240 240.
I was going to go across to the newsroom and Mark Petty was going to read the news. Have you got the news there, Mark? No. Just read that news out for us.
What, what this one?
Oh, top headline, yeah.
What top headline? What, Isle of Wight's close?
Yeah.
That one.
I'm really worried about
this. You want me to read this, dear?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Okay. The government has announced that they are considering the closure of several islands, including the Isle of Wight. Minister for Islands, Mr. Gerrymander MP, told the Candy Press that the government faces some tough decisions in these times of economic hardship, and that the Isle of Wight is an old, crumbling Victorian island that will cost too much to modernise, and is therefore no longer economically, I've lost my page now, economically viable.
So when are we closing?
I don't know, I'm not sure. there's a nice picture of an Isle of Wight with a big close sign over the top that closed for business.
The Candy Press. I like that. If you want to give us a call, you can. We're talking floating bridge for the next few moments. So 240666. Hi, who's this?
Afternoon, Lemon Squeezer. You got the giggling Jippo in there with you as
giggling
well,
granny,
you?
Giggling what?
Granny.
Jippo. I thought you were texting.
Jippo?
I read the text.
Oh, you sent me one of them.
Oh, hang on. No, I didn't read the long one because I haven't had a chance to read it because it was quite long.
I haven't got my phone on.
I did read the other one, the one you... My wife said that having a small WhatsApp shouldn't affect our love life. I would prefer it, though, if she didn't have one at all. Anyway, we're talking floating bridge. Is that your subject? Or
floating bridge? Yeah. That's a sort of a misnomer, that, isn't it, eh? I mean, what's actually quite fun up there is, if you're doing any work in there, is watching the people coming up with the yachts and deciding, shall we go or shall we not? And then the bridge starts up and makes a noise, and you think it's the look of blind panic on their face. And they suddenly realise they've literally either got to get through it or somehow stop. In this day and age, it's a complete anachronism. The whole thing's ridiculous. And you've got what is possibly, arguably, the most sort of like well-known place on the island, i.e. Cowes. And it's got another side to it, which is known as East Cowes. And they're linked with a blinking Victorian chain link ferry. What a waste of time in this day and age. I don't, you know, as a mainlander, I don't get that at all. It's not that far across there. There's a bridge across Portsmouth Harbour that's doing a greater span than that. And they seem to find money for that. Yet we've got to persevere with this flipping thing, which now they want to charge, they're talking about trying to charge you to be a foot passenger on it. I mean, it's penny pinching of the highest order. I don't get the whole floating bridge thing. Mm. You know?
I think this should be a bridge. I definitely do.
The thing is, right, if you come off the Red Funnel Ferry with a lorry and you've got to go to Cowes...
You go the long way.
You can spit across there, but then you're going to waste an hour to drive all round the island to get back up to Cowes. Mm. It just seems total madness to me, the whole thing.
We should have a bridge. Take a lot of traffic away from Newport, wouldn't it, as well?
Well, the thing is, I realise, obviously, in times gone by when there was less traffic, smaller vehicles, it was probably doing us useful service. And probably with foot passengers and cyclists, it still does today, because a lot of people will be living in East Cowes where the houses are better. Sorry, people of Cowes, but I do think that. And perhaps working across, you know, in what industry is left in Cowes. But, you know, this whole business of traffic on the island, you was talking earlier about building additional houses. Well, every house you build could generate at least two cars.
Yeah.
You've got to deal with infrastructure before you can look at...
That's a good point.
...expanding. And if you can't get from one side of the flipping river to the other... without paying, I don't even know what it is now, probably about £3 or £4 in it for a car to go across there.
I don't think it's that much. I think it's only £1, £2. I don't think it's that much. But I'm not 100% sure. But, I mean, are you saying that it should be free?
Well, no. What I'm saying is, if they're going to spend, I don't know, £1 million or more renewing the damn thing, wouldn't they be better off, you know, costing for a proper... I mean, a bridge across, not even necessarily right there, although it's the best place for it, just slightly further down the river, you know, even if it's a toll bridge that will take HGVs across it, obviously you don't have to go 44 ton, but I mean people will tailor their moves to suit. You know, it's got to be a long term thing.
You'd have a congestion problem there with a bridge that opened though, wouldn't you?
Well, would you? What actually comes down the river apart from a few people with boats?
Well, yeah, but there's a lot of people with boats. That's the thing.
Exactly.
It would be constantly open, and so you would then have an issue with congestion.
And what are they doing
traffic
on the outskirts of the harbour there?
Whereabouts?
Cowes, and East Cowes.
At East Cowes, on the outskirts. Well, up by
they're,
the...
They're extending the that, sort of like that place where you anchor your boats, aren't they?
What, the harbour?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean that's growing all the way down. I mean, you've got Island Harbour, haven't you, which is just on the outskirts of...
You've got another issue there, you see. There was talk a little while ago about a possibility of a bridge down there. Well, I mean, you've got a bend in the river there, but does that river see that much traffic other than pleasure?
No, probably not. And I can see what you're saying further up, but I don't think it would work with a floating bridge.
Well, maybe not, but it's the easiest point, isn't it?
It is, yes, definitely.
I mean, it seems to work perfectly well in Poole Harbour.
Yeah, it's the closest point, isn't it?
So. You know? And the thing is, though, you see, when you're talking about building, I mean, the business with Arrowton and Ryde and Bryston and Island Harbour and Son of Pan and God knows where else along the island, we could be looking at a couple of thousand extra homes on the island here in the next few years. That could be another 4,000 cars.
Yeah. But that is the issue, isn't it? I mean, the floating bridge, I mean, I don't know if you remember, I think back end of last year, when they had that one-way system down at Fairlie, because they were doing something, roadworks, and the council, in their wisdom, decided that they were going to pull the floating bridge that same week for its usual yearly maintenance.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until we kicked off and started making some noise that they delayed it, because the impact on Newport is massive. So I totally understand a bridge would be...
It's been, you know, the thing is... The bridge that, I mean, I don't know the whys and the wherefores, long before my time, it probably seemed like a good idea at the time to put a road bridge across where there was a rail bridge. Right? But if you look back with hindsight, it was probably the worst place to have put a bridge. But then again, the reason they would have put it there was it was the easiest and probably the cheapest way, and that tends to be, to me, the way things go on the island. It's the easiest and the cheapest rather than what's the best option.
So the best option would be a bridge?
I think the logical place for it is down the end of that road that goes past all them new unsold houses at what they call Kingston.
Where's that?
Right.
Kingston?
Yeah, where's
it?
Yeah.
Down by the river, isn't it?
Well, there's a roundabout that appeared on the road into East Cowes, wasn't there?
Ah, yes, I know the one.
By the AstroTurf.
And at the bottom, there's a whole load of land that's hoalded off that nobody seems to know what it's going to do.
It's fenced, isn't it?
Yeah.
And yet they wonder why they can't sell the houses that overlook it.
Yeah, that would make sense, a bridge there, because that road would just come straight up and meet up on the big roundabout.
Onto a main.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm. A bridge similar to what they've got at Yarmouth.
I mean, it doesn't even have to be a double-track bridge. It could be a single-track bridge with a toll on it.
Yeah.
But then, don't you think the floating bridge it gives us a little bit more character?
Well, it does. But you've got this constant situation where you've got boats that think they're going to get across faster than the floating bridge and don't realise it's actually got two dirty, great big chains that pull up every time it moves.
Yeah, that's a point. That's a good point.
The boats do it right away.
I don't think there's anybody has been physically injured on that. But the more of these loonies in the yachts that you get coming up and down there. Someday someone's going to have an accident, and who do you blame? Well, you know, maybe the sail's got right of way over engine power, but if you've got a flipping thing that weighs about 40 or 50 ton, I don't know, whatever it weighs, and you've got a little tiny flimsy yacht, you know it's going to come off worst.
Definitely.
Yeah, do you know what? You make a good point there, Arthur. You do. You make a really, really good point. And wouldn't it be now perfect timing, as we've got this PFI, 25 years of sorting out the roads and so on and so forth, it would be the perfect time to put something like this in place, wouldn't it?
Well, and something that can make money.
It's been discussed before, isn't it? I think the ex-council bloke that lives over in Cowes, I can't think of his name now. I can't remember his blinking name now. Didn't he moot something like that with the potential of having some sort of electrical generating wave power underneath it?
See, that sounds like a great idea as well.
Because the tide comes in and out a couple of times a day, doesn't it?
Mm. Makes perfect sense.
You know?
Really does.
And right up there is where the power station is. if it's still working.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so, no, perfect. You know,
but the thing is, obviously, we're just ordinary people. And when it comes down to it, you know what the answer's going to be. Just keep repairing the roads and send the lorries all round.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, which defeats the object all round.
I mean, if they want to build load more houses on the island, well, there's a nice piece of bare land at Undercliff Drive now, isn't there?
Yeah.
Morris Barton, that was the slogan. Yeah. Morris Barton.
Ooh. Hey, Arthur, we're approaching that. 1 o'clock, but thanks for your call.
All right, mate.
And thanks for your poems as well. Have a good day. Cheers, now. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Just a few more comments on the floating bridge before we go. They're taking the time and the trouble to write the messages, so we better do it. Alan James Marsh says, as it stands, it makes £140,000 a year, which is used to pay for beach cleaning and other things elsewhere on the island. So that's your argument shot out of the water. Michelle says, last time we went on it, we were asked if there was a box on board that we could put some money in, and we're surprised that we're not allowed to have one. I don't mind paying 50 pence or a pound to cross on it. Would like it if they had a donation box on there until it's decided whether or not we should pay. There was a lovely little message here as well, because it described the fact that there was somebody that worked on the other side of the water. Dennis says, it would cost my partner £540 to go to work from east to west, a lot of money, and will put an end to us saving for a deposit for our own place. When you hear that side of the story, which is the other side, but you also got to go to those kind of people and say, look, okay, if you're that person, maybe there's a maximum you should spend on it in a year. Maybe you should get a yearly ticket, and they should say, right, if you're going to pay your money up front, you can have a yearly ticket for £100.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's disputing that the floating bridge is essential, to be honest, but to lower the impact on the rest of the island, I think there needs to be something more permanent. You could still keep floating bridge, couldn't you?
Yeah.
But there would be no reason for the heavier traffic to put a bridge in a bit further down.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So, and keep the best of both.
I think it's a great idea.
I think what they should do is build a ramp. I think if they build a ramp and we charge people to come down to see who makes it across and who doesn't.
You're going to tell him off, Shirley?
We'll tell him off.
He's banging the desk again. You'd make a good politician, because they all do that. They bang the desk.
That's why I think you should have a ramp, and then we could make it into like an amusement. It would bring lots of people to the island, wouldn't it? And you could have a ramp at East Cowes where the floating bridge is, and you could send, it could be a pound for a car, £2 for a lorry, and if they make it, they get their money back.
And if they don't,
you could just tarmac across the top of them, a free bridge. Problem solved.
You and Arthur should team up. Anne Bishop says, it might seem that the ferry is making a good profit, but soon it will need to be replaced when it becomes uneconomic to service it. Surely 50 pence is well spent to ensure the service continues. I think 50 pence is really, really cheap. That's my honest opinion.
I think we said earlier, I think, yes, charge, but I think if they put that plough that money back in and replace the old floating bridge, it does need a new floating bridge, if you be honest. It's
a perfect time to have a tunnel.